From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
They're finding votes out of nowhere. And Rick Scott, who won by, you know, it was close, but he won by a comfortable margin. Every couple of hours, it goes down a little bit. And then you see the people, and they were involved with that fraud of the fake dossier, the phony dossier. And I guess I hear they were somehow involved or work with the GPS Fusion people who have committed. I mean, you look at what they've done. You look at the dishonesty. Look. There's bad things have gone on in Broward County. Really bad things.
Indeed, the votes are just coming out of nowhere in Florida, Arizona, Georgia. Happy Friday. This is Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Indeed, you are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Well, are the Democrats actively trying to steal the Florida election? Things are not too sunny in the Sunshine State, as there are is another election controversy. In just a moment, we'll talk with John Stimberger, president of the Florida Family Policy Council. He's tracking this news, and it's not his first rodeo on this account. And the Hay Group Southern Poverty Law Center has reviewed the newest members of the Senate in an article entitled, How Did Extremism Fare in the U.S. Elections? It's kind of like calling the kettle black. FRC's Chris Kasich will be here to discuss these new extremists in the Senate, so-called. And the latest vote tallies show Simina pulling ahead of McSally in Arizona Senate race. The GOP has sued four counties. All kinds of just incredible things going on in our elections. We're going to talk about it throughout the show. And later in the program, Brian Kilmeade, co-host of Fox and Friends on the Fox News Channel and nationally syndicated host of The Brian Kilmeade Show, joins Washington Watch to talk about his new book, Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. He'll also weigh in on the recent press conference charades we saw yesterday in the White House. Well, the Florida U.S. Senate race is still too close to call, apparently, according to unofficial results on the Florida's Department of State website today. Republican Governor Rick Scott led Democratic Senator Bill Nelson by just over 15,000 votes, or 0.18 percentage points. Vote counting is still happening in some parts of Florida, but it seems we're in lawsuit country. Broward County is the epicenter for another election controversy. Well, with us now is John Stimberger. He's a highly rated Orlando attorney who has been in this controversy before. He's been part of the conservative policy advocacy for over 30 years. John, are you with us?
Yes, great to be with you.
Great to have you here with us, John. And I know your role as president of the Florida Family Policy Council. You have seen this down in your state before. Just help our listeners get up to date. What are you seeing now down there with these vote counts?
Well, on election night, it looked like there was a clear victory, and the problem is coming from South Florida, very specifically the Broward and Palm Beach County offices of the Supervisor of Elections. They have certain legal requirements as to when they're supposed to have everything counted, and every other, all 67 counties had everything counted on time except for Broward. And they're claiming that they found a large box labeled provisional ballots found in a cafeteria of an elementary school in Miramar, which is a city in Broward County. Now, they're saying that, oh, well, it didn't have any ballots in it, but stuff like that's just very troubling. She has had over 14 different allegations and investigations over the years. She's been there forever. She is highly incompetent, in my opinion. And there's alleged corruption going on here because this is the most liberal county in the entire state of Florida. So something's not right in Denmark. And Governor Scott last night filed a lawsuit with the National Republican Senatorial Committee against her. He requested information, which is she's required to give information. I mean, one of the main things a supervisor does is they count the votes. They have to know at all times how many ballots are in their office. And she refused to provide that information. Just this afternoon, a judge determined that she must provide that by 7 o'clock tonight. And so that will at least give us the ability to determine the nature of the number of ballots that were in the office and what time they were. But this is really a very sad situation. Supervisors of elections are enormously important. They're literally the guardians of our constitutional republic in terms of the right to vote. And when you have bad apples like this, it's just not a good situation for any election, especially a major one like Florida's U.S. Senate race and Florida's governor, both in the same situation.
Well, John, as you mentioned, Governor Scott, he's hired attorneys, actually attorneys who worked on the Bush versus Gore campaign in 2000. John, let's take a second. I've got a clip here of Governor Scott. Let's go.
The people of Florida deserve fairness and transparency, and the supervisors are failing to give it to us. Every Floridian should be concerned there may be rampant fraud happening in Palm Beach and Broward counties.
Rampant fraud. That's pretty strong, John, and I think there's a lot of folks looking at Florida right now. You know, isn't this why folks really question the so-called swamp in Washington, D.C. and have great concerns?
Well, that's exactly right. And what's really at the bottom of this, in the leftist worldview, there's nothing to anchor them in terms of ethics or morality. And so this is just raw power grab for them. And they realize they legitimately lost election. So for years, this has happened. The same supervisor in Broward County, I mean, in Bush versus Gore, the same kind of nonsense. Now, we'll say this. The governor has the power to actually replace a constitutional officer. So if Governor Scott had did this a long time ago, we wouldn't be in this situation. But that's obviously a very controversial and a very political thing to remove an independent county officer. But he does have the power to do that and still has the power right now. But I think he would be criticized so harshly, he decided to just order an investigation by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement instead.
Yeah, and you know, the irony here is this ongoing investigation about Russian meddling. I mean, isn't it just ironic? Here we are in our own country trying to get our own election underway. Who needs Russia when you've got, you know, this going on in Broward County?
Well, that's exactly right. Now, the situation in Palm Beach County is even worse. The law in Florida provides that if a ballot is physically damaged in any way, then that allows the supervisor to take that ballot and refill it out. In other words, they're creating a new ballot. But it's supposed to be done in the presence of witnesses, with a signed affidavit and all that. There's no evidence at all that they did that. And they could have done that in multiple ways by creating all these ballots. So that's a major, major problem in Palm Beach County. Again, Bush versus Gore, same situation, Palm Beach County, where we had a lot of that taking place. And so this is just very, very disturbing stuff. Ultimately, this is going to be decided by the courts. I mean, this is going to have, there'll be legal challenges. They'll compare the facts and the evidence with the law. And hopefully, if the judges follow the law, and depends on who those judges are, whether they will, I think that we should be okay. But if they do not, and they engage in result-oriented decision-making, our two major victories in Florida, our governor and our U.S. Senate race, could be in jeopardy here in Florida, and that would be an absolute tragedy.
Yeah, we're hearing that Andrew Gillum is wanting to get on this recount bandwagon too, of course, and that's in your governor's race there against Ron DeSantis. And as you've said, you were very involved in the Bush-Gore elections in 2000. You know, what was it, the hanging chads? Some of our younger listeners may not know exactly what that is. But John, have we not learned anything here?
You know, you'd think that we would. The problem is where there's people that want to engage in fraud and bad acts, you can't stop that. That's always going to happen. And I do want to be clear. What the law is in Florida, just so that not making a misunderstanding on the governor's race, if you are within a half of a point, in other words, 0.5% margin difference, then there's a machine recount. If you're within a quarter of a percent, 0.25%, then it's a manual recount. The governor's race is very, very close to going into that recount, but he is not there yet. In other words, the official numbers in the governor's office is just below that. So we'll see what happens. There's also a very important commissioner of agriculture, which is on the cabinet, the statewide race. And in that race, Matt Caldwell, the Republican, won it outright. But now, if there's a recounting, it looks like the Democrat is up by several hundreds of votes. And so that race has now flipped since the election's been called already. So again, same problems, another statewide race that we're all concerned about.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. We're talking with John Stimberger. He's the president of the Florida Family Policy Council and a very experienced veteran attorney, knows a lot about these sorts of issues. Now, you mentioned, John, you know, if this has to go to a hand count or a total, you know, reballoting, isn't that very costly? Who pays for that?
Well, that's exactly right. The individual counties and those taxpayers in the counties would pay for that, I would imagine. I don't think that comes from general revenue of the state. So, but yeah, that's a very costly and time-consuming thing, but it's necessary. Well, another question, you know, it is statewide because it's in every county there's a recount going on, but in the counties where there's problems, that's when it's going to be particularly critical to get the right result and to know what votes were actually cast.
And the other thing I've been hearing out here is that we don't know the vote total. It's kind of like a moving target. Am I understanding that right?
That's right. And so all the counties have a deadline in which to turn in their results. Obviously, there is overseas ballots coming from military that are still legitimate, but those are very small margins. And by the way, military ballots are going to overwhelmingly support, you know, both military veterans in this race, Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis. So we're, again, it has to be, those military ballots have to be counted carefully and accurately. There's a lot of, tricky business that could go on if someone wants to engage in fraud with those absentee ballots that come in later. And so, you know, the hope is that that all is going to be in favor of those that prevailed on election night, namely Governor Rick Scott for U.S. Senate and Ron DeSantis to be our new governor.
And John, we got about 60 seconds left. Just a quick overview here of the general election. The midterm elections, just generally speaking, and the issues important to you. You see a lot of gridlock here in the next 2 years?
Yeah, I think that the Congress being a Democrat now is going to be fascinating and very interesting. In Florida, the reason it's important is because we're going to have three new justices of the Florida Supreme Court appointed when the new governor comes in. Let me just close with this. A very extensive analysis of this whole controversy in Florida can be found on our website at floridafamilyaction.org. Law professor there did an extensive analysis, and it's very clear to help folks understand what's happening. floridafamilyaction.org.
John, always a wealth of information. You have a blessed weekend, and thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch.
Thank you so much.
It's John Stimberger. He's the president of the Florida Family Policy Council. Very, very bright guy. Well, Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's Friday, man. It's been a long week, hasn't it? I find this environment right now rather exhausting, but we've got to stay in the fight. We've got to stand strong and stay in the fight. Well, coming up next, the misguided Southern Poverty Law Center is already smearing new GOP senators. When we return, we'll talk with FRC's Chris Gasek. By the way, go to TonyPerkins.com. You can find a ton of great content. You can follow Tony at T. Perkins, and you can follow me, too, at R. Jones Reports on Twitter. Don't go away. We'll talk with Chris Gasek after this.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to protecting your religious freedom, standing for family values, and defending the sanctity of human life. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our values bus. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for more information. Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Yes, indeed. You're listening to Washington Watch, Friday edition. Russ Jones here, producer of this very show, sitting in for Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council. Been a long week. We're wrapping it up here today. Lots of news to cover. This story here, the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, they just keep cranking out the hits. Just, yeah, babe, one after another. One misguided story after another. They just keep spinning out the spin, hoping people will latch on to this nonsense. And here's the latest one. The Era, this is the headline in their latest column. The Era of Donald Trump unleashed an onslaught of candidates for office who court hate and extremism. Whoa. Extremism. And it's their latest smear against the newest members of the U.S. Senate, Kevin Cramer, Marsha Blackburn, and the reelected Senator Ted Cruz, tagging them as hate candidates. Well, someone who knows quite a bit about this topic is Dr. Chris Gasek. He's the Senior Fellow Regulatory Affairs at the Family Research Council. Chris, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Russ, how you doing? Good to talk to you, as
always. Yeah, good to talk with you. Yeah, yeah. You know, I read this stuff, and I just don't get it. Help our listeners kind of get the 30,000-foot view here. Three of these folks, Kevin Cramer, Marsha Blackburn, and Josh Hawley, are the newest members of the Senate. I've personally met two of those. And I don't see a lot of extremism there, but what am I missing, Chris?
Well, no, so there's a lot that's interesting here, and I think one way to look at this this article, you know, it's a sort of typical, you know, kind of thing that SPLC does, which is kind of guilt by association, or, you know, there's this kind of this game that's called, you know, like I think it's 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. It's like this kind of a party game or something, right? And so you basically sort of say, here's the actor, Kevin Bacon. You know, he knows X, who knows X, who knows X, who knows X, who knows me, right? And so you get these sorts of things where a lot of these relationships are, you know, they're sort of specialized in guilt by association, or, you know, when I'm kind of reading through these, some of the stuff kind of makes me laugh. But one of the things that So you mentioned three people that are winners, and you've got Kevin Cramer, who just beat Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota, and Marsha Blackburn and Ted Cruz. So one of the things that just sort of it makes me think about out of touch they are is trying to label essentially three winners in major states as extremists, and then is essentially saying that the voters who put them there are extremists, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Marsha, this is Tennessee. We've got a big, huge state like, I mean, I realize North Dakota is smaller, but, you know, Marsha Blackburn, other than her being, sort of set upon by Taylor Swift, which didn't turn out too well for Taylor Swift. I don't know I'm sorry, go ahead. Who just doesn't really admire her. She's just like the most cheerful, nice
right.
person. And she's a great telecom expert. She's going to be, you know, when most people in this country are sort of worried about the overarching, this sort of growing power of sort of social media companies, right? She had been she was the subcommittee chairman of the House Committee on Telecommunications. And I assume she'll also kind of go into the Senate, be interested in this as well. I mean, she's exactly the kind of person that somebody, you know, the basic American citizen would like to have, looking into their own interests vis-a-vis these massive corporations, which is something like an old-style liberal organization like the SPLC might have cared about at one time in its existence, right? But this sort of new sort of post-modern, kind of whatever it is, this leftism, is all about identity politics, right? And none of these sorts of major kind of issues that are of a lot of concern to ordinary people. Anyway,
and Chris, you mentioned guilt by association in this article about Kevin Cramer in North Dakota. I wish we had a drum roll here. You ready, Chris? Cramer has also appeared, here you go, on the radio program of the anti-LGBT
group,
the Family Research Council, the show Washington Watch is, here it is, hosted by FRC President Tony Perkins. I just feel the hate. I mean, come on, really?
Well, I am sure. I'd be surprised. They must have. It's not possible that Marsha Blackburn hasn't been on too, or Ted Cruz. I would think so. I mean,
they've all been. They've all been on
or
the show.
FRC events, or what? You know, I mean, Value Voter Summit, stuff like that. So, I mean, and one of the things that I liked about the Blackburn thing, and this has been a whole theme throughout a lot of campaigns, is this whole sort of, attack on David Horowitz, who is David Horowitz is this former 60s radical, I mean, real sort of communist radical, and he became prominent. I mean, he's absolutely kind of brilliant guy, and he wrote this book that was sort of this trailblazing book about his own life growing up as a son of, sort of, he was what you call a red diaper baby, right? Like sort of a child of communist, right? And but he wrote a book called Radical Son, and talked a lot about his experience and, in Oakland, California, and someone they knew very closely was killed, I think, by the Black Panther Party and these sorts of things. But he's always had these sort of very provocative and very interesting analysis of everything. Just like if you sort of find one of these like really super talented, kind of ex-communist or left, they sort of understand the left in a way nobody else does, right? And, I was kind of thinking like Tammy Bruce on Fox a lot is sort of like that, right? So there's a thing where what was hilarious about this one is that
at 20 seconds, Chris.
She was scheduled to be at one of these conferences, but they can't really confirm that she actually was there. So they haven't even confirmed that they could smear her on this. I mean, it's just kind of goofy stuff, right?
Well, Dr. Chris Gasek, thank you so much. We're out of time, up against a hard break here. You have a great weekend, and thanks for the good insights, Chris. All right. Senior fellow at the Family Research Council. Well, coming up next, Brian Kilmeade, co-host of Fox and Friends on the Fox News Channel and nationally syndicated host of The Brian Kilmeade Show and author of Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. He'll be here. Great historian, very interested in history. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's Friday. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
In the years following the American Revolution, tension between England and the United States did not end. Great Britain refused to withdraw from land along the Great Lakes. It supported Native American tribes against U.S. expansion to the West. The British also interfered with American shipping and seized U.S. sailors, pressing them into service for Britain's war on France. Some Americans believed their young nation's honor was at stake. Others saw an opportunity to try to take England's Canadian lands. On June 18, 1812, President James Madison declared war on the British. Congress approved it by the closest war vote in American history. The Second American Revolution, the War of 1812, had begun.
And welcome back to Washington Watch. Producer Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's powered by the Family Research Council. It's Friday. Good to be with you. Yeah, the War of 1812. It's one of those wars that isn't talked about a whole lot. I think probably one of the least known wars that people actually hear about in school. And I suspect that's why Brian Kilmeade wrote about it. With us now is Brian Kilmeade, co-host of Fox and Friends on the Fox News Channel, nationally syndicated host of The Brian Kilmeade Show, to talk with us about his new book, his latest book, Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. Brian, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, Brian, did a little research here, looking into your book and reading through and just kind of getting up to speed myself on this. What is it about the War of 1812 that you think that kind of gets a pass in many of our classes, history classes?
I have no idea. And I guess, you know, you have to look at priorities, World War One, World War Two, the Revolutionary War, Civil War has got to be in. But the War of 1812 figured in a draw. A lot of people said unnecessary war. And, oh, by the way, Washington burned down. Oh, by the way, Britain almost wiped us out entirely. We were getting absolutely destroyed. The White House, they almost captured our president and while burning down Washington. And we were able to rally, and we really were able to rally because of one man. And he didn't have any formal military training. And that man was Andrew Jackson. And when you see what's at stake, you just saw that we found paperwork. It was only 5 years ago that Ron Perez, his decorated Marine historian, found paperwork that showed that Packenham, the officer in charge of this army, said, if you hear word of a treaty being signed, keep fighting for New Orleans and stay there. And then Jackson, 25 years later, would say, if anybody thinks that because the Treaty of Ghent was signed, that we were going to, that battle was unnecessary, the British had every plan, to abrogate the Treaty of Ghent, reverse the Louisiana Purchase, and stop America from growing pests in Mississippi. He believed that to his dying day, and now we have paperwork found in Britain that shows the same thing.
Wow. Well, you know, Brian, I live about 4 hours north of New Orleans in Oxford, Mississippi, the home of Ole Miss here. And, you know, we're pretty serious about our history down here because we think a lot of the country gets it wrong, especially in this space here. But I learned that Andrew Jackson, he came from the Tennessee State Militia, which, you know, I'm first lieutenant in the Mississippi State Guard. So that kind of really caught my eye. And he had a scrappy team of troops, didn't he?
About 1,200 strong. He trained them. He did everything for them. You know, they get terms in sports now. Oh, he's a player's coach. He's kind of like a private's general. He cared more about his guys, and he rode them hard. He had great respect for them. And it's obvious why. Because he lost, you know, he volunteered for the Revolutionary War. He was told he was too young to just be a courier. Him and his brother were captured. You know, his brother took a blow to the head that he never recovered from. His older brother died of heat stroke in the war. His dad died before he was born. His mom died in the middle of the war, and because she went out there to live because it was just her and Andrew. And in the end, he was all alone. So no matter how much money he had, how much success he got, how much fame he achieved, he still thought of himself as that working-class guy trying to beat the odds and make himself in America. When he looked at all the people like Jefferson and Madison, while he respected them, the one he really loved was Washington, who he never met. But while he respected the other guys, he always thought those guys were elite. And they never really thought much of him, even though we have Jefferson's quotes in the book that showed how much the Battle of New Orleans and what kind of message it sent to the rest of the world, that we were not going to be, we were not going to fall apart. We were not going anywhere. This idea of a representative government could not be derailed. And the reason why your people are leaving your countries is because of the opportunity that America presents. The British, French, Spanish, everybody, Russians, they all feared our emergence. The democracy thing is not great if you're a king or a queen, because the whole election thing is a bit foreign to you. So that's what America represented, one big threat.
Well, we got about 30 seconds left here, Brian. Real quick, what about the $20 bill? people want to get him off of there.
Yeah, what I did in Andrew Jackson, Miracle of New Orleans on paperback, what I did is I talked about what other presidents thought of him, so just to get it away from Donald Trump, because he seems to polarize the country. And he's staying on the 20 thanks to Donald Trump, but he got on the 20 thanks to the respect he got from people like Lincoln, Reagan, Teddy Roosevelt, Truman, and Franklin Roosevelt. Those people are just some of the 14 presidents that had to visit the Hermitage in order to study what Jackson did in his American story. He wasn't perfect, but man, the Battle of New Orleans was just an incredible win.
Real quick, Brian, where can people find the book?
Oh, if you want to go get it, have him sign at briankilmeade.com.
All right. Brian Kilmeade, thank you so much. You have a blessed weekend. Thanks for coming on Washington Watch.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right. Brian Kilmeade, co-host of Fox and Friends on the Fox News Channel, talking about his book, Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. You know what time it is. It's time for open phone lines. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We got Veterans Day coming up. What do you think about history? How are we doing on history? And I want to hear about these the votes. Do you trust the system to take care of it? I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to vote? Which candidates are actually speaking up for you and your values? Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be a part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. You can be a part of the solution and make your voice heard by pledging to pray, vote, and stand for your values. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our Values Bus to meet values voters like you this fall. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and help to inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for our tour dates, voter guides, and so much more. Be a part of the movement. Pledge to pray, vote, and stand for your values. Again, go to valuesbustour.com and be a part of the movement.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
We're rounding third, heading towards home. It's Friday. I'm glad it's Friday. Are you glad it's Friday? I hear the shofar blowing. The sun's going down. Entering a season of rest, a period of rest here over the weekend to embrace our Lord and Savior, Jesus, Yeshua. I'm excited. It's been a long week just in our news, in what's going on in our world. And I know that it's a lot to take in a lot of times. But last night, I got to do something that just puts everything in perspective. I got to speak to a group of men at Pilgrim's Rest Church here in Mississippi. And I got to put on my dress blues and go in public for the first time. And wow, whew, kind of felt like all Sean Connery and all. But seriously, just the power of that and what that uniform represents in the Mississippi State Guard, and being able to talk to a group of men just about issues that matter, faith, family, and freedom, and to engage with other men, and just to hear what's on their mind, and, you know, from the elections to issues of faith, and just trying to walk the walk. So, you know, that really puts things in perspective, and it's important. It's important for us to do that. Well, let's go to David in Oklahoma. Hey, David, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Russ? I just wanted to comment on that one gentleman, Mr. Kilmeade, and his book. I enjoy history. I can't say up until this point that I've really followed political history, although his book sounded interesting. But to hear him describe Andrew Jackson's life, how he lost his brothers, how he never knew his father, and he became the man he was still, it really shows that there can be a chasm, you know, between, I don't know, things today versus how maybe things were then, and how the hard knocks can be a blessing. Even hearing you talk just now about your men's group, I'm attending a Bible study tomorrow, a men's Bible study for the first time, and I hope that it's invigorating, and that we don't leave there feeling the same as when we walked in. It sounds like your group was pretty open, and the forum was, and you allowed others to speak and find out what was on their heart, and they probably left there, you know, pretty blessed. And that was all I wanted to say.
I hope so. And you know, David, Andrew Jackson, he was the seventh president and known really for founding the Democratic Party, you know, and for his support of individual liberty. So, I appreciated having Brian on as well and appreciate your thoughts. And I hope you have a great men's meeting tomorrow. Just go in open-minded. Don't raise the expectations too high. You know, you're just a bunch of flawed folks getting together.
So, true.
Dave,
thank you.
Dave, hey, you have a blessed weekend. Thank you. Let's go to Don in Alabama. Give me a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Hey, Don, how you doing?
Doing good.
What's on your mind?
Well, I've actually been to the battlefield site at Chalmette Plantation down in New Orleans.
Yes.
And just an interesting little fact about that particular battle, Sir Edward Packlam, who is the British commander at New Orleans, was a veteran of the Peninsular Campaign in Spain fighting against Napoleon. Mm-hmm. So these were really some of the top soldiers in the British Army. And what can you say about Andy Jackson? He beat them, defeated them pretty soundly.
Indeed he did, didn't he? Why do you think this is? You know, it's one of those wars that, I think Brian's right. It's one of the least talked about. It's like we just jump over it.
Well, this really was the second American Revolution. The British had not really reconciled themselves to the fact that they had lost in our first War of Independence. And we just had to let the British know that, our democratic republican form of government was not going to be crushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good insights, Don. Appreciate you calling. And, being in Alabama, I know you take history serious too, right? Folks take their history. I think we lost Don. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. What's on your mind? Love to hear from you. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Happy Friday, Joe.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for all you do. You asked us if we trusted the liberal Democrats to count the votes, and I would say absolutely not. I mean, you saw the corruption in the FBI and the Department of Justice went all the way to the top, the corruption in the IRS. We need to be on top of the count in Florida and Arizona and out there also in Montana where it was, too close to call. And did you happen to listen to Glenn Beck any today? He broke a story about some fraud in Iowa.
No, I did not. Tell us about it.
Yes. They had a couple went into Iowa voting precinct, and the male was dark skinned from Argentina, conservative, but had a heavy accent. And they handed him a voting card in a plastic box. He went back to the box and opened it up. It was already filled out for all Democrats. And when he came back to the lady. When he came back to the lady and said, "I want a blank card," he was very upset, obviously, and they called the Glenn Beck, and they basically said that they assumed, because he was dark-skinned and heavy accent, that he was an illegal alien, and they gave him a card that was filled out already for Democrats. So if they can do that in Iowa and the Heartland, I said, I hope that someone is on top of this. Because there's fraud everywhere, and I definitely would not trust the liberal socialists to do any counts or recounts. So, God bless all you do. Get the word out. Take care.
All right, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Give us a call 866-372-7234 866-372-7234. Let's go to I believe it's Glynis in Alabama.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Did I get your name right?
I have a question. Yes, you did, and you pronounced it correctly. Thank you. I have a question for you. I thought that we passed a law back in 1953 that prohibited any Muslim from holding office. What happened to that?
Wow. You know, that's one of them Jeopardy questions. I was born in 1960, you know. I'll have to look that up. I'm sorry, I don't know. What's that?
I said I was 7 years after you, so I was born in 67, and I was doing some research, and I found it where we passed a law in 53, and so I'm like, is this correct? Am I seeing this correct? So I thought I'd ask, and that's why I called in.
Yeah, well, of course, when you type that in a search, you know, the first site that comes up is Snopes, which, please, you got to take what they say with a grain of salt. And here's the claim: Muslims were banned from immigrating to the United States. No, that's the wrong. You're talking about being elected to office, right?
Correct.
I'll have to do some research on that. I'm sorry, I just don't know. I don't have the answer to that. So
I don't know either, and I don't have any answers either, but I just wanted to ask you what you thought. So I'll keep digging, and hopefully I can hear from, you know, you, and we'll find out.
I believe there was a Muslim woman, wasn't there? And was it Minnesota? I'm blanking on the state that was elected here Tuesday.
Minnesota, yes. There was actually two. There was a Somalia woman, and there's a lot of controversy around her, and I don't know if any of it's true, so I'm not going to say. And then there was another Palestinian Muslim that was elected.
Right.
So there was two women that were elected.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I think it's called the McCarran-Walter Act of 1952, bans Muslims from holding public office in the United States. And Snopes says that's false. And like I said, you can't take what they say for, you know, absolute truth here. But I'm going to do some more research on that, okay? All right, we lost her. Let's go to Thomas in Illinois. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. We have Veterans Day coming up, and I'm a veteran. And a concern I have is that these companies that we work for, they're receiving these tax breaks for us working for, but as it is a federal holiday, and all these federal workers, they get to stay off. But I find myself working every Veterans Day. And
yes.
It just, I don't know, that pay kind of seems unfair. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
It is a federal holiday, and I know it's up to a lot of different folks and different employers and how folks handle that. I think most places give people the option. If you want the day off, then you've got the day off. If you don't, you don't. And I see some folks that say, you know what, I'm going to work that day. It doesn't mean I don't appreciate our veterans, but I'm going to save that maybe for another holiday like Thanksgiving or Christmas. So you work every Veterans Day. It's mandatory?
Well, unless it falls on the weekend, I work. I drive a truck. I drive locally, so I work 5 days a week, which is great. If it falls during the week, I definitely work. And I've talked to them about it. And my feelings on it is they're receiving this break, you know, the tax break for us working for them and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's too much to ask the companies to say, hey, you should let your veterans have that day off. I mean, whether they pay them or not, that's up to them. But at least let them have the day off, you know, to enjoy it. And it just seems like a lot of places still just, they don't care. They're okay with taking the tax break, but when it comes to the veteran themselves, they're like, you know.
Well, Thomas, let me say this, and I'm just one lone voice, but thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right. You have a good weekend. I don't have the answer to that either, Thomas. I'm striking out here today. My crack research team here, did the U.S. Supreme Court uphold a law banning Muslims from serving in government? The answer, no, there is no such law. Two Muslims currently serve in the U.S. Congress. So there you go. Glennis, there you go. Let's go to Lionel in Tennessee. Hey,
yeah.
Lionel?
Yeah.
What's on your mind on this Friday?
I just called to say that Andrew Jackson was a great man. I can't take nothing from him. But our country and our principles are founded on God. And he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So I agree. Andy fought in the war, and he was a great leader. But praise goes to God.
Mm-hmm. And he was in the Tennessee militia. Now, a lot of folks may not realize this, Lionel, but the militias were the original military units, right, in the different states. And to this day, we have about 22 states that still have statewide militias.
That's a good thing, too.
Yeah. So anything else on your mind?
No, I just wanted to get them in. And I'm not taking nothing from them men. Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. We've got time for a few more calls. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Hey, what'd you think about that press conference the other day? I think we've got some audio here. Bobby, let's roll that clip here of that engagement with CNN.
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election to try
to keep them? I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process. And I want people to come in, and we need the people.
Your campaign.
You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Right. But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and so on.
Well, that's true.
They weren't actors. They're not going to be doing
that. They weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. Right. These were people. This was an actual, you know, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN. All right. And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough.
Mr. President,
that's enough.
You remember that. You remember that. It was not a good moment. Mr. Acosta got his press credentials revoked. Be curious to see how long that lasts. Wanted to talk about that a little bit. We're about out of time, but do you agree or disagree that was the right thing to do? I actually think it was, given I've been in this business 40 years. I've never seen the kind of confrontation, even if you agree or disagree about President Trump, I've never seen the kind of journalistic confrontation I see right now. And when I went to the University of Missouri and studied journalism, I can tell you this right now, it's not what I signed up for. And I continue to work to this day to be respectful and to agree respectfully, to disagree, and to report fairly to the best of my ability. And just like that, we're out of time. And it's always a pleasure to be with you here on Washington Watch. But from Isaiah, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch. Be well, and if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we'll see you on Monday.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.